Hey, just the night the guy called in, he'd always say, "Hey, David, where are you calling from?" The dude goes, "Home."
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax, HIPAA help is on the way.
This is Eric Stokes from Brightside IT in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're listening to Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
Don't sound so reserved.
I feel reserved today. I'm sure I'll pep up.
You're saving it up. I know. Going out of town next week. You know, you can't get too crazy. Mm-hmm. Save up your energy. But speaking of saving up your energy, I think we're ready to announce the next dates for the HIPAA boot camp. So we do have one coming up March. Mm-hmm. 24, 25, 26 will be our East Coast boot camp.
And I don't remember, when is this one come out? But it'll be right around the time that the early bird pricing ends. So get in there. And if we've messed you up, then send us a letter and tell us how much we messed you up.
Yep.
Or an email, a letter. We won't get here before then. Oh, geez. See, I'm not myself.
Just write a letter and then scan it into your email and send it to us.
I love it. See, this, I don't know where this one's going to go today. I'm going to be leaning on you, co-host.
There's no telling where it's going to go.
I know, right?
If I can take it off the rails, I will.
Which is why I've got to get my stuff together.
All right. So March 24, 25, 26 is this one.
Yes. In Tucker. Now, at our normal Tucker. Location.
Exactly. Yes. Our normal undisclosed location.
Well, we do have dates. We have locked in dates for our schedules September 15, 16, 17.
Right. So that would be the fall session. There will only be two this year.
There will not be another one probably until March 2021.
Yep. So September 15, 16, 17, we will be...
somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere. We don't know where, but we will be somewhere.
And we can tell you that we were attempting be in a location in Phoenix area, in the Phoenix area. And we continue to try that. But if you're out there on the West Coast and you've got a space, well, hopefully by the time you hear this, we will have sorted this out. We're desperately trying to find a way to not increase our registration fees and still be able to ship all of us out somewhere or as many as we can, because we don't want to not do it right if we're going to do it.
Yep.
So
it takes a team.
Taking it on the road is not cheap when you take all of us out there. I mean,
yeah, telling you, we need to get one of those Volkswagen vans.
Scooby Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the hairy eyeball from Krista when she heard about having to cook the eggs. Right back at you, Krita. All right, so, but know that September 15th, 16th, 17th, if you can get it, save the date and join us somewhere. Worst case, it will be here in Tucker.
Join us somewhere.
Yeah.
Book your flights now.
We're looking and continuing to try. What we thought we had locked in fell through.
I guess we need to talk about how far west we want to go. I mean, we will do one in Hawaii. I don't have a problem with that.
Didn't you just hear what I said? All right. So unless we increase the fees, which we don't want to do, moving along, we need to get to the point at hand.
All right. Which is what, show topic? Is that what you want to do?
Well, yeah, that's what we're here for.
You want to have a show today? All right, that's fine. So we're going to talk about insider issues today because, you know, it's still a problem.
It's getting worse. I can't believe it.
You should just fire everybody. You don't have anybody on the inside.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, so we have, you know, the awesome people over that do the Poneman Institute studies and all that with, I think they did this one, which was sponsored by Observe IT and IBM. And they actually did one completely on insider issues. And so we're going to dive into that report and talk about what the findings are and
what we should be doing with the information.
Yeah. All that good stuff. So good show today. Make sure you go over to Apple Podcasts.
I'm so proud of you.
And rate our show, since iTunes is not a thing anymore. Yeah. I'm so 2020 now. All right. So more from us after the break. Did you know that 83% of healthcare organizations report a strong negative impact to their bottom line after a data breach? So many doctors think that they're HIPAA compliant, have nothing to worry about. Many of those organizations thought the same thing before it happened to them. Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your practice and help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit CardinHQ.com to learn more.
Cybercrime is a multi-billion dollar industry and growing. How confident are you that your computer network can withstand a cyber attack? Can you afford to take the chance that what you have today will protect you? Call us and find out if the cybersecurity in your business is something you should be concerned about, or if you can rest easy knowing your business is protected. Visit us online at securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com. And schedule a time to talk.
And we're back. All right. So, insider issues 2020. Poneman. Mm-hmm. Let's dive in.
Okay. Hit it. Have you read it yet?
I haven't read it. I have read the show notes.
Yeah. You read what I found in there, right? Actually, you know, because this is a, you know, we've talked about insider issues over and over and over again. And it's probably been 20 or so episodes since we had one specifically about it. And you're thinking maybe we're getting somewhere because, you know, in one of our early episodes, one of the original ones was, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that all the time. You know, I've said it for clearly almost 5 years. Well, yeah, probably more than that, or I wouldn't have known to do it then. But insider issues, if we don't get in this together, we ain't gonna win this war.
Yeah. Well, tell me this. Are you seeing that most people are not really addressing insider issues at all or very little?
Everybody thinks that, particularly in healthcare, that I can still do what I was doing in 2011, 2015, and I'm gonna be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true. I mean, everything has changed and it continues to change. And you're assuming that the criminals are funded the same way, using the same tactics, and they're not. They're very well funded and they continue to evolve to get around anything that we can put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the vulnerabilities that pop up all the time. I mean, what, Cisco's got a long list going out and their equipment's everywhere. If it's not being patched, guess what?
Yeah.
Problems. You know, it's the small business stuff, the enterprise stuff, it's all out there. So that's my big concern is, you know, when I do a class and you can, I'll try to remember to put this in the notes, but AV test shows the number of identified malware variants. That mm-hmm. they just have a little graph, and it shows how many they're tracking because you can't stop tracking ones that are older because they go back and get them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they'll go back and say, hey, no one's looking for this one anymore. So what we'll do is we'll tweak it a little bit and then we'll use it on the front end, you know, and just, what was it yesterday or the day this week, it came out that some of the antivirus programs have a problem in them. So there's going to always be something that they can go back and get the old one that did a little piece, and now we know that we can do this other piece, and you hook them together. So you have to pay attention so that you can, they don't have to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, they were tracking 66 million, 65 million, right? Mm-hmm. We topped 1 billion in 2019.
Wow.
Because it's incremental. But at the rate of growth, if you look at that bar chart that they have, it's like a reverse ski jump. I mean, it's teeny when you compare 66, 65 million in an 8-year time span to over a billion. And that's how quickly it's proliferating. I got to say proliferate.
Taking my word.
You like propagate. Yeah. But the problem is we continue to use the same mindset for the vast majority. I mean, IT folks are doing, in a lot of cases, they're doing the same thing. You know, they're continuing to use, there's, you know, you and I rant about a lot of that stuff, that they're still out there doing what they've always done and getting what you always got, which, you know, that saying, it's not going to help you today.
No. And I just know that from my experience, it seems that people are coming to us and they're asking for, you know, I need email encryption, or I need a firewall, or I need all these other things. And then when you start talking about, well, what are you doing as far as a security awareness program or training your staff so that they don't make mistakes and all this? And they're looking at me like, why would I do that? And I, you know, then I, you know, you go down the educational route of why, and they still, you know, then they usually say, well, these people have been here for years. They know not to do that. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. Okay. And so my experience is that most people aren't doing either anything or nowhere near enough. I mean, we have people that they're using the phishing platforms and all that, but they're not utilizing them. They're just, yeah, everybody gets phished, but nobody's looking at the reports. Nobody's following up with training. No. Nobody's doing anything. They're just like, yeah, we got phished. Then the people failed. What'd you do? Well, we didn't do anything. But did you tell them they failed? No.
They know. Okay. They got the page.
Yeah. It's like, really? But anyway, that's just been my experience. So I was just wondering if you were kind of seeing the same thing out there in the wild, which is they're just not really doing a whole lot with insider stuff.
Well, you know, the good news is that people that start to work with us, we start to put these things in place and they're doing them. It's when they get to us, no, none of that's happening. Ones that we, you know, talk to and, oh, we're good. We've got that covered. We've had it covered for years. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We get our annual HIPAA training.
Yeah. And we've been going on and on. Annual HIPAA training doesn't address the privacy requirements because people just treat it like, hey, check the box. I'm good to go. I can do whatever I want. But then you add in that security awareness is a separate item under HIPAA, and you should be, you know, have an ongoing program. And it doesn't have to be sit-down classroom training, and that's what everybody sees. That's what they hear. When we say, are you training your people? They're like, I don't have time for that because they think I'm going to take the entire staff and sit them down and train them. And that's not what it requires. You know, every staff meeting, there should be some reminder about security policy or have a brief discussion about something in the news or something that's happened or something surrounding security, so that in every single meeting, whether it be a management meeting, a staff meeting, doesn't matter, every meeting, spend at least 30 seconds on is anybody have any security concerns, anything that they've seen, you know, or read about that we need to talk about? Even if you don't have anything else, do that. But this report just reiterates we're not doing what we need to do. And I have anointed 2020 at the Cardin team, is the year of training, and I can't get enough done to focus on the year of training, but it is the year of training. But its intent is because that's so important and it's not happening. And these numbers make it pretty clear that it is the only way that we're going to move forward. And, you know, the Poneman folks, I saw the guy speak and, you know, close enough to understanding how they take it so seriously. And I do love the picture they always show of him is about 30 years old, but he is like very specific on how they ask the questions. They evaluate so that the way they ask the questions, people give them an honest, open response. We're not leading them into a response. We're not getting them confused and they're answering a different question. So, I mean, this information, when you get information from them, it's certainly worth paying attention to. And they did this one last year. They did 964 interviews with 204 companies, 48% of those in North America, they'll say, so mostly in the United States. Mm-hmm. And they said, how many insider incidents, now that's, do you have a careless or negligent employee or contractor, mm-hmm. Because your business associates, they're insiders, a criminal or malicious insider, or someone that actually stole credentials and was able to act as an insider. So it wasn't that they were using vulnerabilities and they got in. Mm-hmm. They were actively using the ability to access your information incorrectly. And 4,716 is how many they had. That's a lot.
Wow.
And they last did this kind of study in 2018. And in 2018, there were 3,200 versus 4,700. So we're looking at a 47% increase in 2 years.
Yeah. Definitely going up.
Right. So, and 62%. So the vast majority of those 4,700 incidents were due to item number one, negligence. You know, the mm-hmm. credential thief is what everybody thinks, that it's that outsider or it's somebody that stole something. But it's not. It's the other two. It's somebody that's malicious inside your organization. And that could be a disgruntled employee. That could be somebody because they're out there actively hiring people to go work at an organization to steal things.
I bet you the people that are doing the credential theft, mm-hmm. it probably started with the careless or negligent employee.
Well, yeah, they're using the same username or password that they're using, in 30 other places.
Yeah.
And then they don't understand, how did they get my password? I don't know. Did you do a search on have I been pwned? It's out there. It's all over the place. And
Microsoft called me last week and they needed it.
Back to social engineering. So, when you look at the criminal or malicious insider, those are the ones everybody thinks they need to deal with. That was only 23%, and only 14% of the ones that are actually stealing the stuff. So still, most of it gets back to someone inside your organization is actively doing something, whether intentionally or not. Just like you said, the criminal ones, it leads back to one of the two others. But then they're trying to look at, what's the cost of dealing with these kind of things? And they calculated all these numbers and statistics about just figuring it out, how screwed you are. An average of more than 2 months to contain an insider incident once you find it.
Wow.
And that's just a person. So we're not talking about a ransomware attack.
It's like walking in the door and seeing the place on fire and taking 2 months to put the fire out.
Well, and they had an interesting number, which, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's all big companies. And so organizations with less than 500 employees spend an average of $7.7 million annually dealing with the consequences of these insider incidents.
Mm. It'd been a lot cheaper to prevent them.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know, I'm not going to charge you $7.7
million. Just $7.5
I know, right? you know, $7.50. So.
No, it's supposed to be $6.50.
But the thing is, all types, all three types are increasing over time. And, you know, you can see when you put it in perspective just how many we're dealing with that you have, you know, to have 62% of that 4,700, you're looking at right at 3,000 incidents. Well, we just told you in 2018, we had a total across all three of 3,200.
Yep.
So, boom. Yeah. But wait, there's more, David.
There's always more.
I always like, but wait, there's more. It comes back to years of not having money to go anywhere, but sitting up all night watching the
infomercials,
the shopping channels and stuff. Still my favorite stuff. Love it. Hey, just the night the guy called in, you know, he'd say, "Hey, David, where are you calling from?" The dude goes, "Home." It was my favorite night. I was there to witness. But anyway, I digress. So the number of events, it's increasing across everything. But here's the thing that it took me a minute to follow what this one was about. So it's the areas that went down. So at first I'm looking at, hey, well, that's not too bad, because they're showing how many events each organization has had in the last year. And in 2018, a large number of people had between 1 and 10, and so like 28% had between 1 and 10. And that was the highest in 2018. And it dropped to 20, so that's a 3% drop. Oh, wow. Because that's, you know, when you consider how many each organization has. Well, then we saw a drop of 2% in the 11 to 20. Looks pretty good. The reason is they're all moving to the other end. 21 to 30 went up 4%. 31 to 40, those remain the same. But more than 40 went up another 4%. So when you're looking at all of that, you know, it went down. Those that went down a total of 5%, but those that went up over 7%, it wasn't impressive that the first two went down. I was excited at first.
Yeah.
The net of it is, it's not impressive that the first two went down.
No, because like you said, it's like they moved over.
I know. It's just they hopped over. So the vast majority of organizations will have somewhere over, you know, 21 to more than 40. And so I don't know about you, but how many times do you talk to people and they say, "Well, we don't have any"?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking. It's like, I got people I know that it's like, we've never had one, or, you know. Yeah. Or we never report one. Might be the better thing to say.
Well, you know, and that's what we were saying to some unnamed individuals at a meeting, and we're like, well, you know, eventually they'll catch up with you when you have a lot of little ones and you're not doing anything about it. And they're like, well, how would they even know? Well, you're supposed to report them. Wait, what? Well, the good thing is we don't have any. I was like, so you never mail some other patient's information to a patient or send something to the wrong fax? Oh, yeah, that happens all the time. Okay. You're supposed to be reporting those every year. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just had a friend who's also an office manager. She told her doctor / boss that she's like, now that I'm up on HIPAA and I, you know, feel comfortable about what I'm doing and all that, just know that when we have these incidents, I'm reporting them. And he's like, well, what?
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah. And she's like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm reporting them. And he's like, wait a minute. So
let me review that first.
Yeah. So I don't know how that's going to end up, but Yeah, I don't think the doctor was very happy with the fact that what he's been getting away with in private will end up making it to the wall of shame.
Well, you know, that's something we talk about all the time, that the compliance officer has to figure out, you know, what do you do?
Document.
Yeah,
document.
That's what I tell him. And you know, and then OCR is like, but if you do that, then it shows willful neglect. I was like, that's what they're doing. You know, and they don't care.
Mm-mm.
You know, all right, I want you to understand that if you do this, you know, you're doing blah, blah, blah. And if anybody ever asks, you're going to be in big trouble. Well, I don't care. All right, yeah. Well, then let's document that you made that decision. And it's not my failure to tell you, which is always my concern. You know, that they'll blame, you know, that one dude at Equifax. I still, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had a prospect a couple weeks ago that fortunately we told to take a hike. But, you know, their response was, we will deal with the consequences if it happens. We don't want to deal with the security and the privacy and the compliance. We would just take our chances.
So what do you think they would say if a patient asked them?
Oh, they would feed them some line of, oh, we're doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm confident, you know, and, you know, not to pick on dentists, but it was a dentist, mm-hmm. which, you know, I won't go into my experience with dental offices, but it's not very good.
Mm-mm. Well, and we continue to see that, and hopefully that will begin to change, but it's quite frustrating to see how that acts. Let's just say we both know that you're right. I mean, I hate the fact that I know they may, you know, not tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really scary is I have, you know, people know what I do and they say, what do I ask my doctor? You know, and I said, well, you can't just ask them if they do it because they'll say, yeah, we do it.
Yeah, because half time they don't even know.
Exactly. So what you say is, can I talk to your privacy officer? That's it. Can I talk to your privacy officer? That should, you know, first of all, put a little fear in them.
Yeah, because most of the time they're like, that's me, I think.
Yeah. Who's the So first of all, they should know immediately who that is. You shouldn't see any confusion. And if, oh, well, they're not here. Well, who's in charge of privacy when they're not here? You know, the security officer. I want to talk to somebody that's in charge of privacy and just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because they should be able to send somebody in that says, how can I help you?
Yeah. Well, the thing that frustrates me is, and this was my response to him, was, why do you think this is a compliance issue? Why do you think this is even a security or privacy issue? This is a patient thing that you should be worried about.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there talking about, well, if it happens, I'll pay the fine. It's not about that.
It ain't about you.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with you doing things on compliance side so that you can avoid fines. This is about patients.
Yeah.
Patient care.
That's right. So that's the most frustrating thing, and to continue to see these insider issues grow. And they even showed numbers from 2016, 2018, 2020, and it's just incremental growth. And by the way, the frequency is growing more with the negligent part than the, you know, everything's growing, mm-hmm. but the one that's really taking the biggest jump is employee negligence.
I wonder if they're going to start hitting these healthcare providers with lawsuits on failure to hold standard of care.
Well, you know, that's the ones that have been successful. And there aren't many, but there's one big one that's been successful in Connecticut. And it was about arguing that this is standard of care.
Right. Yeah. So the privacy and security aspects of your practice are now parts of standard of care.
Right.
Yeah. And we've heard OCR before talk about how, you know, HIPAA is part of the Hippocratic Oath and do no harm is part of what HIPAA's about mm-hmm. in protecting the privacy and security of your patient data.
Yeah. We say that too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the fact that we're not doing enough here, then that's a leadership thing. you know?
Right.
Because you get staff doing better when your leadership is saying, we protect our patients' privacy.
Mm-hmm.
We protect the information that we have that's valuable. You know, and that's like the quote Severino a couple of years ago at the summit. He goes, I believe that everyone should treat each patient's record as a bar of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they did, things would improve quickly. You know, when you look at the amount of time it takes to find these things, so they're increasing in frequency and, you know, the number, the total number, how many of them at each one, it's primarily an increase. Well, while across the board, the biggest problem is still your day-to-day work not being done properly.
Maybe we should start telling people you should protect patient data like it's naked pictures of your mama.
Oh, geez.
I bet you that'll change the thought process.
Well, that would make it. I don't even want to see it.
Yeah, there you go. I don't want to see it either.
I don't want to see it. Yeah,
you don't want any improper uses or disclosures of that.
No, so, but it is indeed, you know, one of those cases. And, you know, very few people will tell you I wouldn't protect a bar of gold.
Right.
Very few people. You know, they would be saying, I'd be trying to figure out how to get all the bars of gold for me instead of protecting that one that belonged to this one person.
Yeah. How much can I sell this bar of gold for?
I know, right? And so, but that's the way that they should be looking at it and in the big picture, and they're not. And if you had everybody thinking about it that way, things would get better. And the fact that it's taking longer to even find the cases where this occurs. So the average amount of time to find it from the time the event occurred to the time somebody knows about it, okay, just to find it and try to stop it, contain it, 77 days.
Mm.
There's a lot of damage that's done in that time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
So then there's this area where they said, and this part, I was like, oh, now we got you. Thank you. Poneman Institute for including this, because I felt like this is something I'm going to use in so many places, because they said the five signs that your organization is at risk of insider issues.
All right.
You know, and what's interesting is I do a talk on insiders, and I've done it, you know, I have the same title, but the content continues to change because the problem continues to get worse. But it's, you know, it's about assuming that you don't have to worry about insiders. That's just risky. And I try to come in with my glasses. But risky business. But here are the five signs. You ready?
I am ready. Number one.
Number one. Employees are not trained to fully understand and apply laws, mandates, or regulatory requirements related to their work and that affect the organization's security.
But I know why.
Why?
Because if the employees know we're not doing it right, no. They might tell us.
I honestly had somebody tell me at an expo, my doctor doesn't want me to train anybody because he says they'll turn him in then.
Exactly.
Like, seriously, do you think that no one else knows? It's like, if we mushroom our people, they'll never tell.
Yeah, they'll see all the mistakes we're making.
You know, that might work in a hermit kingdom.
Yeah, but ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, it's not going to work here. So that also gets back to once a year training.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, anytime I hear somebody say, oh, this is our annual HIPAA training. Like, I think I told the story where we had OCR come to Charlotte to put on a thing.
Oh, and, yeah. And they were like, this is our annual HIPAA training.
Yeah. So this group walks in, like four ladies walk in, and one of the ladies says, so this counts toward our annual HIPAA training, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? No. And she literally was like, well, I don't know if we're going to stay. And I'm like,
seriously?
What? I mean, It was all I could do then to not just usher her out.
Well, and then she sat right there and admitted that she broke the law, didn't she?
Yeah. Like within the first 5 minutes, we found out that, you know, not only is she breaking the law as far as HIPAA is concerned, but she even had civil rights violations going on. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that annual training is doing y'all a lot of good.
Yeah. You're fully aware of the and you understand how to apply laws, mandates, or regulatory requirements. Mm-hmm. So right away, you know that taking that attitude is just wrong. And so by seeing that your staff is not trained to fully understand this, you're at risk. This is one of the five signs. And now, number two.
Employees are unaware of the steps they should take at all times to ensure the devices they use, you know, the company and personal, are secure.
At all times.
Yeah.
So don't we talk about if you teach people how to secure their personal stuff, they're going to do the same kind of things at work. Mm-hmm. And if they don't care about their personal stuff, they're not going to care about work.
Yep. And there's the blurred line between personal and work devices anymore. I mean,
yeah.
You know, everybody's yeah. walking in with the computer in their pocket that makes phone calls. Mm-hmm. And some people so bring in their laptops. Yeah. And tablets. I mean, there's all kind of devices moving in and out of the network now. That's, you know, that wasn't the case 10 years ago.
And it's stuff you don't even know about. I'm telling mm-hmm. you.
Sure enough.
You know, and when you look at, you know, shadow IT is also a part of this.
Mm-hmm. You know,
where I don't like these policies, so I'm going to find a way around it, which brings us, you know, to the next part, which is number three.
Number three, yeah. Sending highly confidential data and to unsecure locations in the cloud and, you know, other exposing mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, I put it in my personal Dropbox account, and it has a password on it.
Yeah, but one I see the most is using a free Gmail or Yahoo account or something like that to email
mm-hmm.
PHI. I see that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And every time that happens, that's a data breach that should be reported.
Yeah, yeah. And I hear people all the time, like, I thought Gmail was secure. Or they'll say, it's encrypted. Yeah, but not that kind of encryption.
Yeah, TLS doesn't cut it.
So there's, you know, all this confusion, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, so you can go back and look at the encryption episodes, but yeah it's just like, look, before you do stuff like this, you know, contact your IT department or provider and say, look, this is what we need to do. Are we doing it right?
Yes, because that right there, number three, tends to be a shadow IT thing. I know how to do this. I'm going to do it this way, even though you haven't told me I can do it this way. And you told mm-hmm. me I should get approval. You know, that happened in January. It's November, and I'm in a hurry to get stuff done before the holidays.
Yeah. Text messaging mm-hmm. falls into this, too. People don't understand texts don't go from device to device. There's things in the middle there.
Yeah. It's
heard that
text
before.
Messaging is not secure.
Yeah. Heard it before. People are like, well, it goes to his phone.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as long as somebody doesn't get his phone, then they can't see it. I'm like, not true.
Do you not watch any of the crime shows?
No.
Where they pull out the text messages and print them out? Where do you think they're getting them?
Well, I'm too busy watching The Bachelorette.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I can't watch that drama. Anyway, number four, employees break your organization's security policies to simplify tasks.
Yeah, this is a tough one because, you know, we always talk about security is not convenient and all this. But if you don't find some way to allow people to do their job easier, still has to have security in place, then they're going to just circumvent it altogether.
Well, you know, I was at a meeting one time and all the clinical people are like, we always text each other about patients.
You know,
and gosh. The IT guy goes, I keep telling them not to do it.
Yeah,
I was like, so clearly that's not working. You need to find another solution.
Yeah. Well, how can you allow them to do that, but do it in a secure fashion?
Exactly. They clearly need to have instantaneous conversations about patient information. Saying no is not solving the problem. So now back to IT, I can't do my job with the tools you're giving me, so I'm going to use the tools I have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where there's that block with, I just told you not to do it. You know, and if you're going to do it, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, I can see that if you're the contractor and you tell the company, don't do texting. And, you know, and it's like I was meeting with some IT folks this week, and we were talking about if they refuse to do it, you document that you explained it to them, and I want you to sign off on this because I have a business associate agreement that says I am liable for stuff, and you are making a choice that I'm telling you is not a good one. If something goes wrong, I want it documented. I'm not responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's reasonable. But if you're an internal staff member, to just say no and not offer any alternatives, or you're an outsourced IT and you just say no and you not offer any alternatives, I'm just saying that you're not going to get anywhere. They're going to do it.
Yep.
They're going to do what they're going to do, don't matter what you say. So far, 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know about you, but tons of organizations hit at least one, if not all of them. And then number 5.
Yeah, does 5 not kind of tie into 2 a little bit, though? Because, you know, number 5 is employees expose your organization to risk by, you know, not having patches on devices and upgrade it to the latest version at all times.
Well, 1 is they're not aware of the steps. So, you know, I'm sorry. Item number 2 is they're not aware of the steps to do to keep it secured.
And then
that involves a lot of things.
So 5 is they're aware of them, they just aren't doing it.
Yeah, they, you know, 5 is, you know, you're supposed to keep things up to date. And a lot of people hear that. I mean, how many times you're in a room with people, not IT, and you, okay, well, what phone do you use? What smartphone do you use? It's Android. What version of the operating system do you get the updates? Oh, I don't know. It does it. You know, I'm sure. Or my favorite is I can't load it because my phone is so old and I got too many text messages and pictures.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, security is not optional. And that's where we run into that trouble, is that they know they should load it, but it doesn't have the space, and they don't want to delete 6 years worth of text messages. Hey, what are you doing? I don't know. You know, there's nothing that drives me nuts than getting a text that says, hey.
Hey, Jeet yet?
No, just hey.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey. I got things to do. You know, give me something. Hey, how you feeling today?
I do that to you sometimes.
Everybody does it to me. I think it's like they know.
Hey, to me, hey means, are you busy?
Oh, see, now if I try to treat it that way, maybe I won't get so frustrated. Thanks, David, for your therapy.
Yeah, I'll send you a bill.
All right. So if your organization has any of those 5, I would suggest that you rectify them. You mitigate them or remediate them, whichever big word, you know, means fix it in your organization. And they did show a list of the, you know, the way to reduce the risk and save money for when it happens. These are the risk reducing tools and activities that give you the best bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprised at all on what's on here.
Nope, not at all.
User behavior analytics, number 1. And yes, that gets, you know, that's kind of pricey for a small business. But number 2 isn't. Privileged access management, that should be happening. It's even part of HIPAA. So it's a security practice that goes back before 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still not doing it.
Yeah. Everybody's got to be admin.
I know. Everybody needs access to everything. You mean everybody should have the authority to change your security settings? Really? Let's talk about that. Who's in charge? Number three, user training and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're done with that discussion already, but we'll have it over and over, you know, and that will continue. And again, those two can be done properly.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then security incident and event management, SSM, we've talked about that before. Little pricey for the smaller businesses. It's becoming less and becoming more of an automated, hey, we're going to include it. Do you include it yet in everything?
SIM? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we have it, but yeah, I would
it's
say
it's an option, but it's still too expensive. When you consider the cost, of, you know, the return on investment for privilege access management, user training and awareness for a small business, a SIM, you don't have the same ROI. You have the same ROI on a SIM if you use it, but the problem is if they spend money on it, they think they're good.
Yeah. Now we're still trying to get the training and awareness to be fully implemented. Right.
I know. I was talking with David Benton, who was on our show years ago. I had lunch with him recently, and I was telling him that we were excited. We had finally convinced a doctor to allow the screens to time out and log back in in the exam rooms. And he goes, wait a minute. In 2020, this is happening?
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, dude. You know, he works at CHOA, which, you know, Children Healthcare of Atlanta, fantastic organization. I personally have counted on them for our family and love them. However, most businesses aren't run like that organization, and that is just deluxe, primo, top of the line. Yeah, it's a daily problem, dude. timeouts, changing passwords, controlling, you know. So there's a lack of understanding in between small business and enterprises, but we know that. Next is threat intelligence sharing. Yeah, you know, I was reviewing stuff for the 405D task force, and I'm like, guys, I know y'all recommend this as a sub-practice, but that's going to be lost. Can we find another way to make that effective? Strict third-party vetting procedures. Have we mentioned that before?
A time or two.
And small businesses can do that.
Vet your vendors.
Yeah, just ask them a few questions. That's not expensive. You don't have to implement anything fancy. You can put it on a piece of paper. You can make it as cost-effective as you need to, but that adds to what's reasonable for small business to do. Incident response management.
Yeah. You should probably have an incident response plan.
Yeah. We've talked about this. And again, not super expensive. It requires sitting down and evaluating what would you do. Other people, you know, that same old thing. Well, IT will handle it. Well, is IT going to find you another place to do business? And do you know if they can bring you every computer? Do you know if they can, how long is it going to take them to restore? What insurance do you have? Are you covered for this? You know, that's that part that's outside of what technical folks do in incident response and recovery. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, another problem in this particular area is when we see this with other things is that you have some IT companies that are stepping in and they're going, we're going to provide an incident response plan for you. We're going to ask you some questions and you can spit one out for you. Then when you look at it, it's a technical, you know, IT incident response plan. It's not a full business incident response plan.
Right.
And so now here we are, we're using the same terminology to mean something different. And that's very confusing.
It's a common problem with IT altogether.
Yep.
So, and then employee monitoring and surveillance. This is one where, you know, we've talked about it's time for it. There are cost-effective solutions. That's why we work with Sphere. Mm-hmm. There's cost-effective solutions that will do the monitoring and surveillance in your medical records system. And that's where you have to be tracking this stuff. Trust me. I cannot tell you how many things I know about what people do as insiders and they're not making the news. They're just in the court system, but they're not in the news. And that's something, small business, that's the first thing that we've said, spend money on. Network traffic intelligence and data loss prevention, but those are the last two things. So I look at this list, and for me, I see that privilege access management, if you just did do that, start user training and awareness only a few thousand times, strict third-party vetting, still none of those things super expensive, all of them super capable, anybody could do it. Doesn't matter what size company you are. And then have a real incident response plan. You don't shortcut incident response. You don't spit that out after answering a few questions. It requires sitting down and thinking about your business and what it needs to function and how you could pay for things and a whole litany of things. And then employee monitoring surveillance is finally really, because this is not going to get better until you start showing them, hey, you can't do this. I'm going to see you. So as much as I hate the Big Brother 1984 concept, it's time, people. It's time. And so we are starting to really push that in our discussions with folks. In the world we're in today, this has to bubble to the top, which again, you know, I told Ray, you weren't quite there yet, but you're now. Now you're there. So, yay, Sphere. But the bottom line is, it's the people.
Yeah. You know? And half this list, I mean, this is a list of 10 things, and half of them are low or no cost.
Yeah. I mean, they're reasonable to implement in any environment.
Yep.
So, as they pointed out in their conclusion, there are three basic defenses: people, process, and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two don't necessarily cost a ton of money. It's resources and you investing your resources in it.
Right.
So, there you go. And
we have that same conversation all the time, because people want technology to do all this. They don't want to talk about process. They don't want to talk about people. Just want technology to handle it. And it just can't.
We can't.
You cannot. Nope. Cannot.
We used to be able to slap an AV on there. You know, can't do that anymore.
Nope. Unfortunately not.
Because they have found the weakest link in the chain is the human.
Yeah.
And we can't secure a human. We've tried.
Can't do a lot with them. As Donna says to me often, I can't do anything with you. But I do want to mention that I think it was a couple weeks ago, we're talking about pen testing, and I made a comment about how pen testing is really too expensive for the smaller organizations. Mm-hmm. And so one of our faithful listeners, William Price, reached out to me, and he has a company that does that. And he says that, you know, it's actually come down a lot in price with what they're able to do now. And so he was telling me that their pen testing for smaller organizations and practices starts out around $1,000. So it's not five or 10,000 or whatever. It's a lot less expensive than we thought. So thanks, William, for reaching out and giving us that information.
Yeah, William, he's doing a lot of stuff. We're doing, you and I are both doing the SMB summit that he's doing, online summit.
Yeah. Guess what I'll be talking about?
What?
Vetting your MSP.
I'm going to be talking about the importance of using frameworks. Because we all know that the legal requirements are coming. And if you do it around frameworks, when you build things, then you're ready.
Yeah.
And you can prove it.
We should probably have an episode on the whole New York thing that's happening.
Well, there's New York, and NIST came out with a privacy framework, and we've got the HICS-CRIM we haven't even covered yet. So we're loaded with tools that are becoming available and things that we need to know how to do. But they, again, all involve following a framework, documenting what you're doing, and training your employees, and, you know, using tools that are readily available.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have it. We're done.
That's it. We're done. Go home. All righty, folks. That is our show for today. So remember to follow us and share us out on your favorite social media site. Rate us on our podcasting app or Apple Podcasts. Help us spread the word. And as always, remember, for Donna and myself that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.